Welcome to the 9642 podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
This is where me and The Fool give our
unqualified and unrequested
ramblings on the various issues in the world of sport.
Or something like that.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our preview of the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar.
We're back to a World Cup.
Yeah.
Our other bread and butter. World Cups. Football well, and World Cups.
This is our OG bread and butter, right? Yeah. This is where we started.
Yeah. So, yeah, this tournament is about... this is Sunday night as time of record, so the tournament is due to begin in hours from now.
Hours now. Eight hours time.
Yeah, so unlikely to be ready before then, but we'll see how it goes.
It'll be out sometime in the next few days.
Yeah.
Probably Tuesday or Wednesday.
We'll see how right or wrong we were, and you can make fun of us after hearing
it. Yeah.
As usual.
Age-old tradition, that one.
Yeah. So, obviously, this World Cup is... got its fair share of controversies, and it's been a few controversies leading up to it. Now, a certain Portuguese player had a very controversial interview just before the World Cup, a few weeks in fact. Portuguese player who plays for Manchester United. So, Bruno Fernandes, the last game before the tournament went on break, the Premier League went on break after the game against Fulham, was interviewed about going to Qatar, and he was basically like, look, I'm not happy about it, we're going, but this has happened, it should have never been allowed to happen. Which I think, what do you think? I appreciate where he's coming from, like, like a lot of players like David Beckham and the likes who are, okay, they're not players now, who were basically sold out. A lot of players aren't willing to say anything because they don't want to be controversial, and like Bruno's not like a nobody player, like he's pretty high profile and pretty big star. He plays for Manchester United.
I think he gets a reasonably decent bit by whilst he is a high profile player, plays for a good club, he's with a decent team, he's not the highest profile player for his national team or club, right? He's living in Ronaldo's shadow. So it gives him a little bit more freedom there to say this sort of stuff because...
Maybe.
Like, he can... A little bit, just a little bit, because he's not Ronaldo. So it sort of means that he gets a little bit more of a... Potentially a
he
free
doesn't
pass.
Have a brand, he doesn't have a brand like Ronaldo who just can't be controversial. Like, you know, in a certain way. Like, he can't be politically controversial, Ronaldo, that is.
So Ronaldo... does his best to fly along that line. I mean,
Whereas,
with the whole water thing. So,
I think it's strongly implied that he understands why players aren't saying anything, but he is.
Yeah.
But it's also like it's like there's an implication that he's like it's not the players. The players don't decide where the tournament's played. It's not their job to bring things to attention. Like they've done a decent amount. A lot of players like trying to bring focus to like. Things like the working conditions of people who
live
in stadiums and like finding compensation for them, but at the end of the day, that is not their job, right? They're and like they had no control over how it ended up this way, and it's basically governments and FIFA.
Yeah.
So it's good that a player's actually gone out and go, look, we're not happy. Like this is so especially a high-profile player, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I see Neuer sort of is the same, because there's a whole thing about the captain's armbands and what they can and can't wear, and I think there was potentially protests can be happening there with just captains wearing particular armbands, so FIFA sort of stamped down and went, no, we have to approve captain's armbands, and Neuer pretty much said, I don't care what FIFA says, I'm wearing my armband. I'm wearing the armband I want
to
wear, and they can find me if they want.
To be fair to FIFA, they have had a long-standing no political stuff on
your
jerseys or celebrations. For a long, it's not just for Qatar. This has been going on at least since the 90s.
Oh no, exactly.
So, not a new thing. Like they don't have an issue with you supporting things like, you know, rainbow laces, you know, say no to racism, that sort of thing.
Mm.
But they are definitely they definitely stamp down on any sort of political stuff very quickly.
Yep. Yes, yes. Well, Neuer's one is, I think, is love is love is his armband. And so he's going to continue. Well, he says he's going to continue wearing that same armband. See how that goes.
Yeah. But I think there's a general feeling in a lot of, like, the Premier League, I think, as a rule, has just been very silent. Like, a lot of politicians are calling on players to speak up, which is, I think, extremely hypocritical.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, they're more than happy. A lot, like, you know, the UK is a net exporter of selling weapons to places like Qatar in the Middle East.
Pretty sure, yes, yes.
And so, at the same time, also, you don't want to let them have a football tournament? Why?
Yeah.
Like, at the point where you're willing to sell them weapons, I think you have no right to complain about any of their politics anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And what's sort of funny about politicians demand or asking players to make political stances, as you said before, like,
or
that's not
make political stances when it suits them.
Well, yeah, when it suits them, it's like, as you said before, that's not really the player's job. Like,
yeah.
The players are there to play football, and they will have opinions because they're people and have brains and are smart. So, you know, they can or can't say something, but.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely support players using their platform to do positive change. Like, Marcus Rashford is a prime example of someone who does that. And, like, you know, went up against politicians to, you know, bring up positive change.
Yeah.
Especially during times of COVID. Yeah, so, you know, this is... and he took a risk as well. So, like... But the thing is, like, not every player has to do what Marcus did.
Oh.
He chose to do it. And, like, you know, even if it's a message I don't necessarily support, I understand players have a right to use that platform how they wish, or not use it at all if they don't want to. But it was, like, a very interesting thing because, like, I'm kind of hijacking a lot of this stuff from TIFO football.
Yep.
Who had a bit of a pre-World Cup podcast and a, you know, post-Premiership break podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were saying, like, they're also in this weird no man's land. Like, they are going to do, you know, show a lot of, you know, do a lot of their videos where they discuss tactics of every team, every group, what are the matchups, you know. The usual good stuff you expect from TIFO in a big tournament. Because yeah, that's what they're there for. That's what, yeah, that's what they need to survive. But that's the thing is, like, they don't support a lot of what's going on in Qatar, and they are, you know, at the same, they are gonna acknowledge they're like, look, there is a bit of hypocrisy in that, but, you know, we're kind of stuck. We have to.
Yeah.
We can't.
Well, exactly.
And like we can't. We're not gonna. Like, obviously, you and I, we've already discussed the controversy, so we're obviously not staying away, but we don't have millions of followers, and at least at the moment, this podcast is not, like, you know, what we need to pay the rent and all these things.
Exactly. It gives us a bit more freedom. We are those nobodies that can just say what we want.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we're not going to get hundreds of people DDoSing us or, like, you know, showing up outside our door to, like, you know, annoy, you know, harass us and things like
that. Exactly.
We're speaking about Qatar. But we will speak about it, and maybe years from now they'll look back and hear what we have to say and go, what the fuck were these guys on?
Yeah, yeah. Who are these guys? What are they talking about?
Pretty much. But
so, to be fair, I don't know if that we have to wait years for someone to listen to that to have that thought. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think everybody's listening to a lot of FIFA World Cup content, especially because they're lots of people who are not usually into football throughout the year are trying to get into it, figure out stuff about what's happening, and, like, you know, decide which teams they're going to follow. So we're going to do some news around the podcast. Strongly recommend everybody listen to TIFO. Great stuff they're putting out. as always, the athletic, always good. The Bleacher Report Football are doing their usual, like they have an animated TV series, animated YouTube show, which is usually about the Champions League, and it's basically a parody, and they're mocking people in the football players in the Champions League. So they've kind of done a spin-off of that about the World Cup.
Oh, nice,
Strongly recommend people watch that. Just to give you like a mild spoiler. This is in the trailer, so it's not so much of a spoiler. There's a thing where there's a big party celebrating players having a big party before the tournament starts, and there's a corner where Messi's standing with Cristiano, and Messi's like, "So, how's Europa League?" And Cristiano tells him to shut up. So that is the tone of that series.
Oh, that's classic. That's really good.
And there's like another a YouTuber who does animated shorts called 442s. Very cool. And he does it, and it, one of the good things about him is he does it like literally hours after matches happen. So it's very up to date and like, you know, in the news. So definitely watch him. He's going to have some banter to share with us. So that's, anything you would like to plug, people you're watching and listening to about?
Mostly I've just been, Athletic and Tifo has been my main ones, plus whatever other random YouTube people popped up on my recommenders. Nothing out. I think you've got a much wider range of background there of podcasts and YouTube content.
That basically describes like the whole point about me having exactly 50% of the kids you have.
Yes. There is that, yes.
It's pretty much right there. It tells you exactly what you need to know about what happens to your time.
Yeah.
When that happens.
That is 100% true.
And
actually, to be fair, the rest of my content absorption is my kids and their knowledge that they've picked up randomly, and the way they think that the tournament's going to go based on them playing FIFA Mobile.
So who are your kids liking? Who are they?
They're big French supporters. Seems to be a lot of that.
You tell them the Benzema's not there.
I did tell them today. They were a little bit disappointed, but then they're like, still got Mbappe, so it's still fine.
We go. That's fair. Yara's not fully understood it, but he knows that I wear like a lot of Dutch stuff, and he knows they wear orange, so she's like, okay, I think you support them, and I'm like, yeah, that's good, well spotted that one, and then she's like, I don't know if I like any team, but I think because her best friend is Brazilian, she might end up joining that bandwagon.
Yeah, I think I've got them on to the Argentine bandwagon. They do pick up England from Group B's there, of course.
Yep.
Who else have they been? South Korea. Because they like Son, and neighbors are Korean. They're football fans, and they like Son. So, and actually, the Dutch seem to get picked up a lot as well. So,
yeah.
Oh, and Portugal for Cristiano Ronaldo. He happens to be their favorite player. So.
Yeah, of course. There's a little bit of. I think I'm gonna be following the Japanese a little bit. They're in a tough group this World Cup, but you know, nice kid and.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, family out in Japan who are big supporters of Japan. And interestingly, I have a sibling in a World Cup country because my another brother is in Australia and my sister's in England.
All right, yes. Yes, she is. That's good.
Yeah, they'll all be watching. And yeah, there's some interesting stuff happening before the World Cup. So there's been somebody who's built the world's largest flag of Argentina in Bangladesh, because obviously there are more Argentina fans in Bangladesh than anywhere else. Not to be outdone, there's been somebody who has spent the equivalent of 15 they've basically spent $1.5 million of local money, which roughly works out to about, I believe, 100,000, give or take, New Zealand dollars at the moment, to build a house, which is basically a museum that celebrates Brazilian football. There's like a huge mural outside, and it basically goes through like the legends, you know, Brazil, all the way from their first international people like Arthur Friedrichs, to all the way to the modern, obviously Pelé, Socrates, Romario, Zico, everybody's there, all represented. So yeah, not to be outdone. So, but the fandom are out in force in Bangladesh as usual. Now the timings are pretty good for us here in New Zealand, at least until daylight savings. Or at least until something, some reason there's a change up in the middle of December, but the games are usually, we get 2 a.m., 5 a.m., 8 a.m., and 11 p.m. Other than the 2 a.m. games, if they're not on a weekend, most of them are doable. Like, I'm up by 5 most days.
I was thinking maybe get up a little earlier tomorrow morning, make it into work a little earlier, and stream it from there, the opening game.
I mean, I know I'll be watching.
Be watching one way or the other. I may watch the first half and then head on and watch the second half in work or something like that. Exactly what I'm going to do. But as you say, other than the 2 a.m.s, they're all pretty good.
Absolutely. And like 11 p.m. is particularly good, I think. Like a good late night watch.
It's slightly late because by the time it finishes, that is the 2 a.m. ish time. So, still fine. Still workable, really.
Pretty much. Now, speaking of Epity Games, obviously tomorrow we've got the hosts playing against Ecuador, a team whose kits we rated quite highly, if I recall correctly.
I recall, yes, I think so.
And the so they're playing in their first game. So the group A, we have Qatar, Ecuador, Senegal, and of course my beloved Netherlands.
There's
been a lot of people saying this is an easy group for Senegal and the Netherlands because Ecuador had to qualify from the last qualifier in South America. Senegal are AFCON champions, obviously. Very good teams. One of the pre-tournament favorites. Lots of people putting money on Senegal being the African team to go the furthest in a World Cup ever.
Definitely a possibility there.
A lot will obviously depend on how injured or how well Sadio Mane is. Then we've got the Netherlands, who were led by Louis van Gaal. Once again, he's like an old pro at this tournament. He got the Dutch to a final and a semi-final. So he knows what to do to get the best out of these players. If the Dutch can make it out of their group, definitely are a team that can go quite on a quite a deep run. I'm gonna say something controversial here. I think Qatar are gonna come out of this group. Now they are Asia champions. At first that was all I thought people had to support that, and most people online are talking about that, but Tifo did a bit more of a deep dive into Qatar. So where the Asian championships were being held in the UAE, at that point, the UAE was actively hostile to Qatar. They had a blockade against Qatar, and there was effectively a big Cold War between the three Gulf states, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE against Qatar. And like, it was literally against the law in the UAE to express sympathy for Qatar. Like, that would get you jail time. So none of their fans could go to the stadium. Nobody could support them. And they were up against an actively hostile crowd. And they're in the semifinals, they're up against the hosts, the UAE, big crowd, everybody supporting them, and they thrashed them 4-0.
Right.
This, like, after they scored their second goal, they apparently people in the stadium started throwing their shoes at the players, who were like, "Yeah, your tears feed us. We love this."
Oh my.
So, the Qatari team have gone through the gauntlet and they've come out the other side and, like, you know, triumph already. Yeah. So I would not be surprised if they were able to do this thing. Like, Qatar has invested, like, since 2006 on their Aspire Academy and their Football Dreams Academy, both of which got a lot of criticism for being like a white elephant, but it has actually created players. Like, I believe 5 of the players came through Football Dreams. So what Football Dreams is, the Qatari, according to the Qatari FA, this is going to goes around the world looking for talented players to come and play in the academy in the Aspire. Right. So they're from the overseas. Now, a lot of people were criticizing them as being, look, you are just figuring out another way to get more foreign players into your league.
Yes.
But the Qataris pretty much said, look, nobody's forced to represent Qatar. If they go through the Football Dreams Academy, they can go play in for other countries, and there are 3 other players from this program playing for other countries in the World Cup, so that's borne out to be true. Like, the evidence is there, but there are 5 players, like, and all of these players are either children of people who've immigrated to Qatar, or, like, you know, they've lived in Qatar since they were 5. So that's not unreasonable. They're not foreign mercenaries here. They've grown up in a Qatari system and played with each other. And so this is one of the advantages they have. They're more like a club side than an international side. Players all play locally. They all went through the academy together. They all know each other's weaknesses and strengths. So
That is a benefit,
And they're obviously playing at home. So I think, I don't know which of the two I don't know. I think this group is harder than it looks. I do think Qatar will beat Ecuador tomorrow. Or morning, and I think they are gonna beat one of Senegal or the Netherlands. And unfortunately, I do think it's probably the Netherlands because they tend to have choke moments.
Yes.
In the World Cup.
There is that. Yeah.
So yeah, I think Qatar and Senegal are going through from Group A.
That is a big call. I mean, I think tomorrow is going to be defining Qatar's World Cup, and if they can perform and beat Ecuador, which is very possible, then I think that may give them the boost, and then yes, things start being a bit more interesting. I still believe Senegal, Netherlands should have enough class, enough experience to both make it out of the pool, but I think yes, you're right, Qatar and potentially Ecuador might give both of them rights. To me though, tomorrow is it, can Qatar perform against Ecuador in the way that they can? And if they can perform against Ecuador and get the win, then yes, then self-belief and support may push them further. But if they can't get a good win out of that, even if it's only like a scrappy win may not even be enough, but to really fuel that belief. But I think it is a key game for them, but I still believe that both Qatar and Ecuador won't make it out. The Netherlands-Senegal game at 5 a.m. on Tuesday, New Zealand time, will be the game that determines the 1 and 2. Whoever wins that game is coming first, and whoever loses it's probably coming second.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, this could easily become a group where draws are really common, so getting a win might be crucial.
Yeah. I mean, that is also possible as well. Like, they could all, it could be another New Zealand 2010, right, where Qatar maybe goes through undefeated but gets dropped out. 3 draws, and that's that.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
Absolutely. Next up, Group B, we have one of the pre-tournament favourites, England.
Yeah.
Iran, the United States, and Wales. What do you think about this group?
I think this is a pretty interesting group. Once again, it's another one where there's potential banana peels. I think England should be strong enough to go through, but England is England, and they've gone into previous World Cups looking strong and then faltered badly and not been able to pull performances together. And yeah, this is a tough pull for them. Like, this is a pull that definitely they can falter in. Like, the first game against Iran may not be easy. They should have the running of it, but that doesn't mean they're going to win.
I will point out that one advantage, big advantage, I think Iran has over England is these warmer conditions for playing football do suit them more than it suits England. Like, this is a World Cup where, speaking philosophically, like, you know, if you think about philosophy, there's a material approach and an ideal approach. So an ideal approach is you have ideas in your head and you try to implement those ideas in the real world. And material approaches, you come up with ideas based on what the real world is giving you. Like, the material is finding your ideas. Obviously, nobody does 100% of one or the other.
No.
But they're, like, I was listening to a podcast from The Athletic where they're discussing tactics, and there was people were discussing whether they thought European football, like English football especially, was becoming too Eurocentric in that it was becoming too idealistic. Like, it was more about position play, picking systems versus this is what we do with what we have, which is more or less what you have to do in World Cup like tournaments. Like, other than, I think, like, Spain's win in 2010 World Cup kind of skewed everything. Like, that was a very ideal team. But, you know, that was basically a rare occasion where you had basically, you know, one club produce, like, a style, like, but with Barcelona. And then basically Spain got to pick most of the players from that team, other than someone like Lionel Messi, and got to replace, you know, key players with very good other players. Like, you know, David Villa is a very good player. Like, sorry, not David. People like Marcus, obviously Villa was already playing at Barca, but, like, Marcus Alonso is a very good player. Back then, because he wasn't playing at Barca yet, Cesc Fabregas is a very good player, you know? These are the type of players who were, you know, Vicente del Bosque was a player, was a coach who was very good at using his materials, so he could mix up the ideal of Barcelona with new materials from other clubs to build something. And it turned out to be really good. And obviously, he also had Sergio Ramos playing alongside Puyol, like, made that defense incredible.
That was, incredible.
So, like, England, like, Gareth Southgate is already a pretty defensive coach. And that's probably good in Qatar. You want to preserve your energy, but I feel like if England have a bad start against Iran or the United States, they could falter. I think it's always bad for England when they have the United States in their group in a World Cup. It never ends well for them, right?
No. I feel like, the three other teams in Group B are like the three teams that the worst possible teams that England could have in that pool with them. Like, all three of them are going to cause problems. Like, Iran, as you say, their style is going to be probably problematic for England. Like, unless because England get a couple of early goals in or something, it could look bad. USA, as you say, never goes well for England at World Cup. And then you got Wales. And,
and Iran, going to be... Iran are in a bit of a golden generation along with the United States at the moment. The previous time these two teams played at the World Cup, Iran won 3-2 in the 98 World Cup. Incredible game. And they, like, this is their World Cup final, right? Iran versus the United States. So especially with current geopolitical things in the world happening. By the way, this is recorded on Sunday, the 20th of November, 2022, if you want to look up what geopolitical things were going on at
the time. Future reference. Future and also, also for any changes that may happen between now and when this gets released.
Yes. And then we've got Wales. I really like Wales. I think they're a team everybody's underrating. They seem to always play well in tournaments. They play together, and like their coach, Mark Hughes, is getting the best out of them.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to think that I'm gonna go for a double upset in this group. I think Wales and Iran are gonna come out.
Oh, that's a big upset. I think England will still come out. Whilst this is going to be massive banana peel territory for them, I think England will still come top. But I was actually, yes, thinking Wales is the second. England and Wales. And just because Wales has that belief. And I think they will, as you say, they play together, they're a tight-knit team. They play well at tournaments. This is, you know, the best, the first World Cup they've been in, was it 50, 60-odd years, whatever it is?
Absolutely.
Like, they're going to make the best of it. And they do have a reasonable team. Like, their team's pretty good.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Once again, tournament's going to be defined by their first game against the USA. If they can play well there, then I think, yeah, that's going to push them through. If they play badly, then it may be hard for them to pick themselves up. But,
yeah.
I would back Wales as the number two stop.
Yeah, I agree with that. Next group, we have another competitor. Every group's very competitive, but we have your boys, the Argentina, Saudi Arabia, the Desert Falcons, Mexico, El Tri, and Poland, the red and whites.
Yeah.
Who do you like? Obviously, other than Argentina. Let's just say Argentina is going to get out of this group. I don't know if they'll finish top. They might drop points somewhere, but yeah, they're gonna finish top.
I have great faith that they'll finish top in this one. I actually like Mexico. I think Mexico is going to be second in this group.
Yeah.
I mean, Poland, the Mexico-Poland game is going to be really good.
It is going to be really good. I think the Mexico-Argentina game is also going to be really good.
Oh yes. Yeah.
Mexico are more used to playing football in warmer conditions, and obviously Saudi Arabia, this is in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I think, I do think Saudi Arabia is going to put up a good show. I'm not expecting them to lose 4-0, 5-0.
No.
They might get a draw against one of the teams. They might even win a game, but I don't think they're going to get out. I think this is going to be this is going to be a tricky group. You might even have something like in the last World Cup where you had like fair play decided. Because, you know, each team might beat another team. Each team might have one win, one draw sort of thing.
Yeah.
Same draw. But I think I'm going to go Argentina-Poland for this one. I think just Lewandowski's just too good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Poland does have Lewandowski, so that's going to make it interesting. But I actually think Saudi Arabia is going to be sort of the deciding factor. And as I said, there's going to be potentially be a draw there, and I sort of see, in my mind, Poland looked like the worst matchup there. Like that.
Like the 82 All Whites, when they only lost to Brazil 4-0. And it turned out because of that goal difference that they wouldn't get ahead in the second. They got into the same group as Italy.
Yeah.
Second round. And, you know, famously lost to Paolo Rossi.
Yeah, yeah.
That game in Sevilla. So. Yeah, you can never tell, obviously.
Exactly. But, you know, that to me is it. And say, and I pick Mexico because I see, say, Poland not matching up with Saudi Arabia as well as Mexico. So I sort of feel the Poland-Saudi Arabia game is the one that's going to have the upset result, which will mean that Poland misses out. So I think Mexico will beat Saudi Arabia, probably lose to Argentina, maybe draw. I think Argentina will do enough to beat Poland and Saudi Arabia, so.
Yeah, I guess me and Nick will find out when we watch that game.
Cool. Yeah.
Now, moving on from that group, we go to group. We go to group D, Group D with France, yeah. Australia, Denmark, and Tunisia.
Yeah.
What do you say?
Say.
Let me remind you of the 2002 World Cup.
Yes, I'm quite aware. As I say, up to this morning, I would have thought France easy. But, you know, now Benzema's out, and he's out for the tournament. That puts a big dent in France, and France is already carrying a lot of injuries as well, so it does make me a bit worried for them, and does put me in the mind of, you say, 2002.
Yes.
Don't
Pogba's not in the tournament.
Pogba's not there. Kante's... I think Kante and Pogba are still in the squad, though, right? They're carrying the injuries through.
Yes.
They're hopeful that they'll be able to play at some point, but Benzema ruled himself out, or got ruled out, because he'd be out for at least a month, so. That's... France, it'll be... They're walking wounded, whether they can all get back, when they can get back.
There are some great players to replace them, like Eduardo Camavinga, Matteo Guendouzi, Ariel Antetokounmpo. You know, they're good replacements. And they've got a good defense, very good defense, I think. Yeah. But also, they might be starting Adrien Rabiot in the midfield because, you know, it's France. There's some weird weaknesses here and there. I don't think their forward line has too much to worry about. Olivier Giroud, Kylian Mbappe are still there. They've got Kingsley Coman this time as well. So definitely. But I do think, you know, you miss a player like Pogba with the way he plays for France, right? He's that engine guy. And then obviously you've got players like... obviously Kante as well. So I just looked up their squad. Pogba and Kante are not in the wider squad.
Oh, they're not? They're out.
I mean, Kante is Kante, man.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to replace a player like him.
It's super difficult. Yes, as I know. It is super difficult. So you lose him and you sort of lost two players out of midfield.
Yeah.
So given France's injuries, this does pull this back into quite a difficult one. Still believe France has got enough quality there to make it out, but it's going to be a lot tighter. And that Group D is a pretty tough group. Denmark's a pretty good team. Yeah. Tunisia is very good. Australia.
Yeah, I think I'm going to, once again, pull out all stops. I think Denmark's going to beat France at a World Cup again.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be infighting. There's already infighting because of Mbappe.
Because it's France.
From what we hear, and because it's France, I think they're going to just lose their first two games. I think Denmark and
Australia
are going to be... they've got Australia first. Yeah, I think they might actually lose all three games, I think. They did in 2002. I am picking Denmark, obviously. I think they've got a very good side. Everyone is tip-top shape, and I think Tunisia will be the second team to go out with them.
I'm almost willing to agree with you. I think France might just have just enough quality left as a team. I know there's infighting. There always is. It's France. It doesn't quite feel to me like 2002. So, the French squad, so I'm sort of thinking they'll still scrape through, but it's going to be close. And I'm not sure whether I think they make him second. Probably means Denmark. I have to put Denmark first. But it's going to be a close thing between Denmark, Tunisia, and France, I think. I think Australia's going to do well, but I don't see them winning any of those games or even really drawing them. Despite the quality that Australia has and the ability for them to fight through and get out of group stages at World Cups. I think I'm going to go France-Denmark. Or Denmark-France.
Yeah. Now, next group. Group E is what, the toughest group, I think, in this tournament. We've got Spain, Costa Rica, Germany, and Japan, the only group with two former World Cup winners in them. Yeah, how do you see this one?
This is actually the one I have the hardest on. This would have been the New Zealand group too, and when I saw which one the winner out of Costa Rica and New Zealand were going to, I was like, well, this is a fun game. The winner gets to go get smashed by Germany, Spain, and Japan.
Yes, exactly.
So, yeah, like, or Costa Rica, just come here just to get absolutely dunked on, and it will possibly come down to the goal difference, which will mean that
Keylor Navas is still a class goalkeeper.
Oh yeah, and so that's going to be, I think that's going to be the difference. It's going to be the goal difference, and it's going to be, which will mean Costa Rica will play that role of who can score the most goals against them, which, as you say, if they've got Neves there, it's not an easy thing to do, as New Zealand found. So,
But,
I'm not sure. I find it hard to pick. I think Germany goes through. Germany is Germany. Like, it's a World Cup. It's Germany. I don't see them not going.
I think, but there are some issues for Germany. I don't know how their forward line's gonna work. Spain, I know what's coming out, and I like it.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing. Spain is playing Enrique ball, and they've got the right squad to play Enrique ball. Like this team, their goalkeeper is gonna, be the classic sweeper keeper who plays out from the back. Enrique is not carrying anyone with injuries. There's a bunch of young players with a bunch of experienced players, people like Gavi, Rodri, Pedri, making their World Cup, Ferran Torres making their World Cup debut, and you've got Marco Asensio, who's just one of those players who will always get you goals if people provide him with the service, and this team can provide him with the service. The fullbacks are incredible, and Sergio Busquets is the only guy who's from the team that won the 2010 World Cup who's still there. And he's still incredible, in my opinion. Like, he's going to man that midfield and basically control everything. Even Aspie's still in this team. Like, that's how...
That's the
thing of, like... experience, but also, you know, your young guys like Gavi and Pedri in this team. That's just, I don't see any weaknesses. Spain, for me, will, I think it'll come a lot down to the tactics when they play against Germany on that game on Monday the 28th, 8 a.m. But it's going to be a blockbuster. Both teams may have already qualified by then, maybe.
But
I think that's going to be a blockbuster game. But I think Enrique is going to outdo Hansi Flick. He's had the Spain team for longer. He's managed to play it, kind of put it through in his vision and his style. I think Spain are going to top this group. And you never bet against the Germans, so they're going to be second.
So I'm just finding it hard not to put Germany through. And I really like Japan. I really want them to go further. But everything you said about Spain is true. It makes it hard to bet against Spain as well. Like, it makes this pull super hard. I think I'll stick with you and say Germany-Spain. So I sort of want to go Spain-Japan on the grounds that Germany get knocked out by another.
Germany could get, is a team that can be gotten. And I think Japan has the skill to beat Germany. And even Costa Rica have the skill to beat Germany. So we're going to see. And Germany still haven't sorted out that forward line, so we'll see how that works out for them.
You
watch more Kai Havertz than anyone I know. Is he a forward? Is he a goal scorer?
He's meant to be. I don't know. I did find that interesting that he's playing up front.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a little bit that way. But no, he's more of a attacking midfielder / winger.
Yeah.
Creates chances, he can score the chances, but yeah. Having him up front is interesting to say the least.
Yeah, yeah. And now, moving on from the tough Group E, we go to Group F, where we have one of the pre-tournament favourites with Belgium, Canada, Mexico, Morocco, and the 2018 finalists, Croatia.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, once again, it's a bit of a hard group. Canada gets to be thrashed by everybody nicely.
I think so.
Maybe not thrashed by everyone nicely, but I don't see them winning a game.
Well, this is their golden generation. Remember, they topped North American qualifying. They did better than the USA and Mexico. Like, they thrashed both of them in qualifying.
And their reward was to end up in this group. That was so unfortunate for them. Like, Canada in the English group, hey, that's a good chance. You know? Also, maybe being Group C instead of Mexico. Possibly. Like, once again, it would come down to how well their style matched up with Poland. But, yeah, I sort of feel here that, like, Morocco's class, Croatia's class, Belgium's class. Not that Canada's not, but I don't think they're in the same level as those three. That's why. I don't see how they win against any of those three teams.
Because I'm predicting the United States to... So you're going with Belgium and Croatia?
Yeah, I'm going with Belgium and Croatia. I think Morocco will get close against Croatia, but I think it's going to be Belgium and Croatia.
See, I think because the United States, I feel like, are not going to get through to the second round, I think Canada will. And I think... But also, because I don't think Mexico is going to get through. I think Canada is going to be the only team from North America to make it through to the to the knockout stages. I think it's going to be them and Belgium. Croatia are carrying an aging squad.
Yeah.
That's my big concern about them. Very experienced, classy players, I do think.
Yeah.
But I do think they can be had, especially in the heat of Qatar. Especially by Morocco and Belgium. Canada, one of the things that might play to their advantage is apparently Alphonso Davies is doubtful for that opening game against Belgium. If Canada can somehow still get a draw in that game and, you know, Alphonso Davies recovers, a lot of those other, I don't know how much Morocco and Croatia know about him, and he's a class player for Bayern. And we know in World Cups, a good player who's a striker can carry your team.
Yes.
So I have a feeling about Croatia, but I think you're right. I think my head says Croatia, Belgium, but I think my heart's going to say Belgium, Canada. Okay. I still think Belgium are too good. Like, they're just going to get hurt. Like, that's just going to happen. Next up, we have Group G, which has Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland, and Cameroon.
Yeah.
Another tough group.
I think Brazil wins this group.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Brazil will win this group. They are
second place.
They are playing their first game against Serbia.
Yeah.
I think Cameroon are quite lucky to be at the World Cup. They kind of lucked through their qualifying to get here. I don't think this group of Cameroonian players are good enough to beat Serbia or Switzerland. And definitely not good enough to beat Brazil.
No.
Obviously, anything can happen. You might have Italia 90 situation where the Cameroonians were electric, but, you know, we've been chasing that dragon for how long, you and I? Cameroon do well at a World Cup.
Every World Cup since.
Yes. So, it doesn't happen. So, I don't think, unfortunately for Cameroon, that they will get through. I do think, I do like Switzerland. I think they're got a great team, very good players, but you can't, I'm not betting against Mitro. He's like a shark running through a swarm of players, demoralizing defenses as he's running around, grabbing the ball and getting into spaces, and you just, you know, you break up your defensive shape and everything because of a player like him. Like, this is literally, he's been carrying Fulham this tournament, yeah. And he is on fire.
Yeah.
So, to me, Serbia comes second.
Yeah.
They might even upset Brazil in their first game, but I think they will draw Switzerland and maybe Cameroon. Will beat Cameroon.
Yeah. My heart wants me just to chase that dragon one more year. Just one more time and go Cameroon. Like, I can't express how much I want to pick Cameroon as number two of this pool. Like, it's just so much. And it is, Italia 90.
Yes.
Every tournament they've been in since, just like, come on, you can do it again. You can do it again. But yeah, I think...
Yeah, apparently I think Roger Miller was quite good.
Sure. But I think, yes, my brain tells me the Brazil-Serbia is the way out, and that first game on Friday morning, Brazil-Serbia is the making of one and two out of this group. So I think I'm going to agree with you. So I really want to choose Cameroon.
Right. Last but not least by any stretch of the imagination, Portugal. Group 8, we have Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay, South Korea. Great matchups here.
I think this may actually be the pool of death. Like,
yes.
All the other ones, they've been pretty close and pretty good, but this one I think actually is any of these four can go through in any position.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
They are. It is so close. It's just crazy.
And like, we have Cristiano Ronaldo obviously going to be playing at his last World Cup.
Yeah,
he's obviously going to be pumped up for it, and he tends to not let Portugal down in these
tournaments.
So I'm not betting against Cristiano. I know he's had a season at United this season.
He has been at United, and it was a season.
There's been a season. There's been games. But yeah, he's basically fresh and angry. And angry Cristiano is best Cristiano.
It really is. Yeah, I agree. I don't want to bet against Portugal. I don't want to bet against Cristiano because of the mood he'll be in, because of what's happened. And the fact that it's his last World Cup. Like,
I
wouldn't be surprised that if he drags them all the way through to the final just because he's Cristiano.
Yep. I really like South Korea, not just because of Son. Obviously, Son is incredible. Mm. They've just got a really good squad with great players.
Well, they really do.
I expect South Korea to be the best Asian team at the World Cup.
Yeah.
So I am picking them to go second. Yeah. But that being said, woof, Uruguay are good. Woof, Ghana are good.
I know, exactly.
And we've got a revenge game for Ghana against Uruguay because this will be their first time back at the World Cup, and they're playing against a team that infamously knocked them out in the 2010 World Cup by a hand.
Oh yeah, well that's going to be a fiery game, I'm sure.
I mean, everybody's going to be up to watch that game on Saturday the 3rd of December.
Yeah.
That's going to be an incredible game. I do think that's going to potentially, and then there's going to be South Korea versus Portugal, just because of the way that works out, maybe, this group is so hard to pick, just the way the matches go.
I know, exactly.
They're also playing on the last day of the tournament, last of the group stages, rather, sorry. So,
It's just going to be...
It's going to be difficult, but yeah, I do. I'm going to stick with it. Portugal, South Korea, those are my pick.
Yeah, that's my pick as well. Super annoying to have to pick, but you say Uruguay, what a team. Ghana, what a team. But as I said, I don't see Cristiano Ronaldo allowing Portugal to be eliminated. Like, he will drag that team as far through. And it's not like the rest of the team aren't good. Like,
yes.
Portugal's a really good team. So
yes.
I see them getting through. I see them getting through potentially even, I haven't looked to see what the matchups look like, but potentially to the semifinals at least. Maybe further. But yeah, and I don't want to say South Korea don't get out of the pool. Like, they got too good a team for it. I know Ghana and Uruguay are good as well, but I feel South Korea is better than both of them. So I'm going with South Korea as well.
Yeah, because it's
a really good team. And once again, it's sort of unfortunate that Portugal, South Korea, one of them is going to be second, and they're going to face whoever they, whichever top seed they get to face, which is just, in the next round, that could be crazy as well, so.
We'll know more, obviously, as the tournament progresses about who's going to play who in the brackets. But yeah, it's going to be incredible. But I think you're right, this was the toughest group to pick. So, now, just before we close off, who are you looking to see to have a great tournament? Who's going to be, who do you think is going to be player of the tournament? Goal scorer, like someone, your highlight reel player.
I think...
Only one. Only one,
yeah. I'm going to pick Messi. I was going to say, it's going to be between Messi and Ronaldo. Because it's both of theirs, probably both of theirs last World Cup. Both of them... almost need this crown to really top off being able to be called the best player ever.
They have won international tournaments now.
I know they have, but not the World Cup.
Yes. And Ronaldo won the European Cup and the Nations League.
I know. They both have crowns, but it's not a World Cup. That is a different beast entirely. So, because... I prefer Argentina. I'm picking Messi to have the tournament of his life and to blaze the place apart. Be the player, player of the tournament.
That's a good pick. Now, I agree with everything you're saying in spirit, like big tournament, need to set up legacies.
Yeah.
This is why I'm going to pick Neymar to be the player of the tournament. I just think he missed out on home semi-final, which Brazil ended up losing 7-1 because of a back injury.
Yeah.
Got injured in the 2018 World Cup. He's basically gone, look, I'm not taking anything for granted. I might never play another World Cup. I'm going to play this like my last World Cup. I'm going to do it. And he's on fire for PSG.
He is, yes.
And Brazil's team is probably the only international team that I think are as good as PSG.
Yes, they are very good as well, so yes, I can completely get behind that as well.
Like, where's the weakness, right, in this team? Like, starting from goal, you've got all the... Okay, maybe because they play Fred in the midfield, but he's there with Casemiro, so it's okay, it works. Like, that forward line is gonna have Gabriel Jesus on the bench?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Or Gabriel Martinelli. One of the two Gabriels from Arsenal are going to be on the bench.
You make a good point.
Because you're not dropping Vinny Jr., obviously. You're not going to drop Neymar. And Richarlison's their target man. He's starting if he's not injured.
Yeah.
If he is injured, you might have both Gabby Martini and Gabby Jesus play. Or Rafinha, like... Are you losing anything? Or Anthony? Are you losing anything? Or Rodrigo? Just the forwards. And then obviously you've got Bruno Gutierrez, you've got Fabinho, you've got Fred, you've got Casemiro, Lucas Paqueta. Like, there's no bad players in this team.
There isn't, no.
And, like, that back line has players like Danilo. Thiago Silva's still a gun at 38. Danny Alves is back in the tournament at 39. Yeah. He's going to be on the bench, I assume, or not, you know, not playing full games, because Eder Militao is in incredible form. Alexandro is in great form. Marquinhos is in great form. And there's also Alex Telles has had a season, I think. So there you go. But yeah, Alex Telles is a really good squad player. He can cover left back and center back. And Bremer playing left back. That's no weaknesses. I can't see it. And Neymar has no excuse. Like, okay, to be fair, he doesn't make excuses. And like, you know, he got injured. It's not a thing of him like playing badly in a key game. He's always stood up when he's had to play for Brazil. And then,
yes, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
He's had bad luck with injuries. If he wants to win a Ballon d'Or, this is his chance. Win a World Cup next year, he's up there on the. And if PSG can win a Champions League, he's done half the job, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, I agree that that's the. Yeah, he wins the World Cup, and PSG does well. That's he's pretty much. You may as well write his name on the trophy now, for the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, but yeah, that's my pick.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think we're all picking very boring, usual suspects people. Yeah. You're like, you're Ronaldo, probably Messi, and I'm like Neymar.
Exactly.
My edgy hipster pick.
Edgy hipster Neymar.
And if Benzema was playing, I'd be like, oh. Neymar or Benzema.
Exactly. Yeah, look at us. Real edgy hipster choices. Really digging deep into this, you know.
Yeah,
standard stuff.
But, closing words. What do you think of this tournament? How excited are we? Like, I can't help it. Despite everything wrong, like, it was like that for 2018 World Cup for me and the 2014 World Cup. We talked on and on about controversies.
Yeah.
But just the moment this tournament starts, I'm just like, I'm into it. I'm so excited. Like, it takes
same,
over my
same.
Life.
Same. Yeah. No, it's crazy. I'd say there's the quality of football should allow us to block out the shit that's going around it. And it should be a good football. I mean, there's still all the stuff that comes with this tournament, especially. You say 2018 had that as well. 2014, like it's not like it's. There is a theme been running over the last few World Cups, and that can be all traced back to a particular person.
Yes.
And it's clear what's happened.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, to me, there's two sides to this. There's the everything else side, and there's the football side, and I'm just really looking forward to getting into it. Trying to ignore the rest of it, at least for a month.
Oh, I'll be laughing at all the comedy content people write, making.
Oh yes,
of
course, yeah.
And like, but yes, I can't. It can't take a thing on. It, you know, it can't, I can't help but be consumed by the football.
Yeah, exactly. I can't. I just can't wait, as you say. Tomorrow mornings can't come quick enough.
Absolutely. And on that note, I think that's all we have time for today. Thanks so much for listening. And look forward to hearing from you all. Hearing from us next time.
Catch you next time.
Well, that is the end. Thanks for listening all the way through.
If you liked what you heard, be even more. Find 642 Discord and a Buy Me a Coffee.
Pretty sure it's Buy Me a Beer.
Oh yeah, Buy Me a Beer on buymeacoffee.com.
In both these places, you can talk to us, and we may even listen, especially if you do buy a said beer or coffee. I might still be confused.
Yes, we're easily bribed. All links are in the show notes below.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
This is on YouTube.